All right, guys, we got one more set of speakers coming up tonight. Actually, it's the same set of speakers you saw last half. They're going to do the prologue to part two of the Hammer Trinity. So once again, let's see Chris Matthews, Matt Edmonds, Gabby Labatka, Joe Bianco, Patrick Falcon, and Derek Mattson.
Before we begin, I think it's worth noting that this is the prologue to the second play, part two, The Crownless King. So far, we heard the prologue we read before, Hap the Golden's story, our entry into the world, and we went on an adventure with several of our characters, and we sort of fulfilled his vision of what a united land would look like. We start part two with sort of the other side of the coin, the sort of undercurrent of villainy, question mark, that is sort of pervasive in part one, and now is coming maybe a little bit more to the fore as things start to complicate and unravel, question mark. That begins us with Eirik Obsidian's tale, The Crownless King.
Once upon a time, all the folk were free, their liberty defended by a great and powerful hammer. For an age, the hammer was held by the folk most fit to claim it. Only the mightiest of arms, brightest of minds, and noblest of hearts could bear the hammer's weight. And so, for an age, the folk inspired themselves to greatness. All was right in the land. But then, an arrogant and powerful magician named Hap the Golden told a story in which only one of privileged blood had strength to lift the hammer, in which the folk were weak and required a crown to rule them. And though it was only a tale, it began a bloody reign of kings and queens who claimed themselves the masters of the folk. One by one, the folk were made to kneel, until at last a brave alliance, declaring themselves crownless, led revolution against the hammer in the fields at New Plymouth. It was there, fearing the blood of thousands on her crown, that Catherine Grey, Lady of the Grass, declared,
"The hammer is too heavy for my hand to hold alone."
And so a republic was formed, led by representatives of five lands: Gordon Pride, Bloodright of the Lion, Warden of the Vale; Henley Hawthorne, Pin Crown of the Delta Throne; Davy Boone, Keeper of the Salt; Caelan Wayne, First Ranger of the Glaze; and of course, Catherine Grey, Lady of the Grass, Loneborn of the Lavender Crown. They called themselves the Hand, joining together to raise the hammer in defense of freedom for all. It seemed the lady's compromise had forged a fragile peace. But then, a wondrous, pitiful thing occurred.
Gordon places a loving hand on Catherine's belly.
A child was conceived. When news of this reached Hap the Golden, he hatched a devious scheme. For if a story could be spoken that this child would one day raise the hammer all alone, Hap may once again install a crown above the folk. A brilliant plot turning on a single mournful detail.
Hap draws his blade, fade to black, as he murders Catherine and Gordon. Lightning and thunder. Casper enters carrying the hammer. One by one the heroes arrive. Abraham, limping badly, Wilk, clutching his side, Rienne, and Hollow Tom.
And thus a humble, honest youth was pawned to make a king, while proud and worthy folk were made to kneel.
Each kneels in turn, Hap kneels, Casper raises the hammer high, lightning and thunder. The scene shifts to Havenston, July speaking into Davy's ear.
To rescue the folk from this piteous tale, a girl, orphaned by fire and blessed with a powerful voice of her own, set out to turn the tide against the Golden.
Havenston folk anxiously enter the bar, followed by Bilge to find Davy. July steps back to witness as he speaks to his people.
Present and accounted for. What's the word, Captain?
The new king has built a shipyard. As Keeper of the Salt, my course is clear. If any of you meet the mutiny, get to it, otherwise somebody speak.
Havenston backs you to the man, but Davy, we ain't fit for war. This king is young enough, maybe we can come to some terms?
Aye, this king is young, but we know Hap the Golden guides him. And that hammer is too heavy once it's been swung to move aside or sway from off its mark. And make no mistake, its mark is Havenston. And why build a shipyard but as an act of aggression? To take our salt by force, the property which Havenston has preserved for itself by generations.
Should we treaty then?
And kneel to the crown?
If it ducks the hammer.
What sailor lost at sea can help but heed the lighthouse, even when he spies the rock himself? We folk were not born special. But have we forgot what we are capable of when we stand up on our own 2 feet? Have we? Then what need we this iron stag king? Oh, he's clambered his way to raise the hammer, so be it, good on him. And now he demands we sacrifice for a greater good. Whose greater good? Not us. So I say, any man worth his salt kneels only so that his brothers and his sisters and above all his children may climb upon his back and retire for their own greater good, or for the good of any who call themselves crownless. I say, we sail for Havenston's good and no greater. And if this king wants to take our salt, I say we make him swim for it.
Aye, aye, aye.
To your ships.
The captains exit to their ships, leaving July and Davy. She hands him his mask. He puts it on for the first time in many years.
Sparking the pride of the crownless, she set in motion a great chain of events, one that will shake this golden age to its foundations.
Exit Davy. July's foxes gather to her.
And so a second story grows in audience of folk who will fight and die for their right to live free, of a young boy wrestling the tethers from his tail, and of the girl who will steal him away to the edge of darkness where his savior sleeps, confined, sequestered, and dreaming to stir, the crownless king. Story save us all.
Thank you, House Theater.